fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. It's the seventh day of competition at the World Athletics Championships in Doha, Qatar. Medals will be awarded Thursday evening in four events: the men's decathlon, the women's shot put, the women's 400 meters, and the women's heptathlon. Highlighting Wednesday's action in Doha, British sprinter Dina Asher-Smith, American hurdler Grant Holloway, and Polish hammer thrower Paweł Fajdek all won gold medals. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to the 30-year-old Fajdek, who won his fourth consecutive hammer world championship by unleashing the only effort over 80 meters. On his fourth attempt, the Polish big man had a throw of 80 meters 50 that no one could come close to matching. On the track, Dina Asher-Smith became the first British woman to claim a global sprint title. Dina powered to the finish line in a national record 21.88 seconds to win the women's 200 meters. Earlier at the World Championships, Asher-Smith won a silver medal in the women's 100 meters. In the men's 110 meters hurdles, American Grant Holloway blazed to his first world title in a dramatic race in which defending champion Omar McLeod of Jamaica fell. The 21-year-old Holloway smoothly glided over 10 hurdles and crossed the finish line in 13.10 seconds. McLeod came out of the starting blocks fast, but his race quickly turned sour as he knocked down hurdles and tumbled to the track before reaching the finish line. Now, McLeod's problem seemed to upset Diamond League champion Orlando Ortega in the next lane, who finished fifth. Speaking after the race, McLeod apologized to Ortega for costing the Spanish athlete a medal.
Very disheartened for Ortega that had happened to him. If I could take that back, I would, honestly. But I showed heart, I showed resilience, and after all I've been through this year, the sacrifices, the losses, and I was ready to defend that title. But it just didn't work out for me tonight. He was upset, clearly. He got off the truck real fast, and I was trying to find him to, you know, give him some comfort and just to share my apology. But it's hurdles, and anything can happen. But it's unfortunate that it happened. That cost him a medal. So I wish I had stopped when I felt the hamstring, but knowing me and the heart that I have, I wanted to pull through and at least just finish the race. I just wanted to finish. So unfortunately that happened. I'm very sorry for Ortega. I'm very sorry. That was all me. That was my fault. You know what I mean? And that was my fault.
That's Jamaican hurdler Omar McLeod, who won the world title in London in 2017 and the Olympic title in Rio de Janeiro in 2016. And Omar was speaking at the 2019 World Championships in Doha, Qatar. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Still with athletics, the head of the United States Anti-Doping Agency is shedding more light on a recent four-year ban issued against American coach Alberto Salazar. Joining us with more details is VOA's Gwen Uten. Hi, Gwen.
Hey there, Sonny. The ban on Salazar comes after a four-year-long investigation into allegations of misconduct. Salazar is head coach of the Nike Oregon Project, a training camp funded by Nike that is designed to develop endurance athletes in the United States. According to the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency, or USADA, Salazar acted in connection with Dr. Jeffrey Brown, an endocrinologist with the Nike Oregon Project, who has also received a four-year ban. Travis Tygart is head of USADA. He says evidence of misconduct came to the agency over a period of time, and it was concluded that many athletes were pressured into seeing Dr. Brown at the insistence of Salazar. The athletes were then given a banned supplement infusion, and their medical records were altered. Tygart says the evidence shows the athletes were manipulated.
Certainly many of them fought that into having to go receive medical treatment from a doctor. That doctor was sharing, frankly, confidential medical information with the coach. The coach was then directing different medical treatment for some of the athletes. So, you know, I think ultimately what was uncovered was a absolutely lost focus on the health and well-being of athletes, where the athletes really didn't have a choice, where their sponsor, their coach, who sponsored by their same sponsor, who directed their training, directed what competitions they competed in, who was going to be the favorite athlete within the group, would frequently pit one athlete against another, unfortunately, keep things very, very, very secret from one another, and then had a doctor who was prescribing things, you know, again, most of that not prohibited, but in a way that was not in the best interest of the health and safety and the well-being of these athletes.
Tygart has said it was because those athletes found the courage to come forward that the truth was finally exposed. And he said when the truth did come out, the athletes were in disbelief.
When the toxicity studies got out amongst the group, the athletes themselves were shocked. And they said things like, "What is this, a joke? I've been on this for the last 4 years at your direction, and now you're telling me how toxic this stuff is?" So that's the environment I think we're going to all have to question and have a discussion around. Are we satisfied putting athletes at whatever age, whether they're elite Olympic athletes or young athletes, in a position where they're going to have to start a medical program and to some extent become, you know, guinea pigs to see if otherwise, you know, controlled, prescribed drugs that aren't like drinking water or milk or, you know, anything you buy over the counter, but only can be prescribed by a doctor, if that's what it's going to take in order to be a successful athlete. And we simply don't believe that it should. And so that's going to be part of, I think, the ongoing discussion, you know, sort of this medicalization program of elite sport and the environment that puts elite athletes into.
Tygart also issued a call to action to invest in cleaning up the sport to ensure athletes and coaches play by the rules and regain the public's trust. And he said continued violation of the rules will not only further harm the sport, but sponsorship as well.
I hope it's a wake-up call for, you know, all sponsors, frankly, and others to take a step back and say, what's really important about sport, and what's important about sport and why companies invest in sport and why companies profit in sport is fair play has to prevail. The rights and safety and health of athletes has to prevail. And hopefully it's an opportunity for them to double down, I think, on the commitment to ensure that clean sport is what prevails and that we have safe and healthy sport and not make excuses for things that are clearly unacceptable.
Sonny, several athletes who worked with Salazar and the Nike Oregon Project are currently taking part in the World Championships in Doha. However, those competitors were not mentioned as part of the investigation. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Turning to tennis, British star Andy Murray is on the comeback trail in China. My VOA colleague Jim Stevenson has that story, as well as golf and National Football League news.
It was a good one to get through. It was obviously pretty tight at the end of both sets.
Andy Murray of Scotland has taken another big step in his tennis comeback, beating world number 13 Matteo Berrettini of Italy 7-6, 7-6 in the first round of the China Open in Beijing.
There's a bit of progress for me again this week, which is good. I feel like the progress has been quite consistent, and hopefully that keeps going through to the end of the year.
The win was the biggest for Murray, a former world number one player, since undergoing a second hip surgery on January 28th. He won the China Open 3 years ago and is happy to return to Beijing.
I've always enjoyed playing over here. I think I like the conditions here. I have good memories, obviously, from the tournaments in Shanghai and Beijing. And, hopefully, you know, I can have a good run here.
Murray began his comeback in August at the Western and Southern Open in Cincinnati, losing to French opponent Richard Gasquet in straight sets. But the big difference for Murray now compared to last year is the lack of constant pain in his right hip.
I think just not being in pain now is making tennis like a little bit more fun. So the practice and the preparation for tournaments is a lot easier. Last few years that really wasn't the case, and I was finding it all like really stressful. Wasn't getting much enjoyment out of it. So it's a little bit different now, which is nice.
Third-seeded Stefanos Tsitsipas of Greece needed three sets to get past Dusan Lajovic of Serbia 4-6, 6-3, 6-4.
Somehow I got a few points here and there, got the break from the early start in the second. Kept my momentum and fought those nerves that were very difficult to handle from the beginning of the match. My assessment is that I played really well after the second set.
Tsitsipas found his confidence growing steadily when he needed it in the third and deciding set.
I think once I started expecting more from myself, I kind of loosened up and found solutions to break him back, and played with more intensity after getting broken. And I think my mindset was at its right point.
Dominic Thiem of Austria is the tournament's top seed, and he eliminated Richard Gasquet 6-4, 6-1.
I was feeling very well from the first practice. I was doing here great doubles yesterday also. So I came into the match with great confidence, and of course also happy to have the first victory here in China.
Thiem has a lot of respect for every opponent at the China Open.
It's one of the strongest tournaments. Last seed is 13, so you can lose every match if you're not on the top of your performance.
And of course, the Chinese players.
Everybody who's playing at home has this extra presence also with the crowd.
There's nothing like a win.
French golfer Victor Perez gets the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship win for his first trophy on the European Tour.
The confidence that you get from getting it done, it's so difficult at this level to win that being my first year, I'm obviously delighted.
A 27-year-old Perez carded a winning 22 under par to hold off Matthew Southgate of England by one stroke on the old course at St. Andrews in Scotland.
It was an amazing day, very stressful. I didn't get much sleep last night and wasn't really hungry either. And it was just a battle out there with Matt. Just hats off to him. He gave me a hell of a fight out there, and I felt like it could have gone either way, and I was fortunate enough that it was my time today.
Perez didn't know who might challenge as he headed into the final nine holes.
Up until the turn, it was pretty open. I felt like anybody from the groups ahead could have made a run, and but thankfully they didn't, and it just ended up being a one-on-one battle with Matt going to the last four or five holes, and the switch was really 14. When I birdied that hole, I felt like I came back in the game, and then I held strong for the last four.
Southgate found himself in a surprisingly good place.
Oh, I've done everything I could do, really. I was quite impressed with how level-headed I stayed, and felt amazingly calm really all day, which was quite a surprise, to be honest. I thought I might be a little bit more excited. And
he's been struggling all year.
You know, it's been a horrible season for me, and this has sorted that right out and got us right back in the hunt for getting Race Dubai, and that's the goal for me, really. And, I think I've proven to the world this week that when I do switch it on, I can mix it with the best, and I've beaten a hell of a lot of good players this week.
But Southgate will cherish his effort.
I'm sure when it all comes out in the wash, I'll be having a beer somewhere and a smile with some good friends, and I'm going to look back on this week as a huge success and a massive achievement in my career to shoot four scores like that on four rounds on those golf courses that we played this week.
Perez enjoyed the unique format of the event, playing three different courses and with an amateur partner.
This is completely different, playing three different courses, going to Kingsbury and going to Carnoustie, and obviously two rounds here makes it incredibly special. And the format is awesome. I think it's a chance for the amateurs to see from inside the ropes and connect with the players, which is something that they strive and they love to do, and chat with us and ask what clubs we hit and why and all these kind of questions. And I think it's really cool that we can give back to those people as well.
The pair's title at the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship went to Tommy Fleetwood of England and Ogden Phipps.
The team's got to help me, really, because it took my focus off what I was doing, and actually I was really concentrating on the team and doing that, and I think it just helped me mentally.
For Fleetwood, the pair's win was bigger than having the lowest score among the professionals.
It means a lot when it's not just yourself, it's a partnership.
Rory McIlroy of Northern Ireland was paired with his father, Jerry. They placed second.
We played as good as we could. We shot 61, 62, 61 the last 3 days. My dad played great. We had a great time. It's going into today, that's all we were wanting to do was to try and win the team event, and we give it a really good run.
It was an early present for his father's 60th birthday.
You know, this is probably the first time we've really been in contention to win the team event as well, so it was good fun.
Will Dad have a similar birthday gift next year?
Look, if he wants to, then I will, but I don't have any real ambition to play again. I'm happy enough with what we've done. But yeah, look, we'll see. If that's what he wants for his 61st, I'm sure I can make it happen.
After 4 weeks of play in the National Football League, just three teams can boast perfect records. The New England Patriots and Kansas City Chiefs in the American Conference, and the San Francisco 49ers in the National Conference.
Whenever you get the win, you always feel good.
San Francisco is 3-0 after getting past the Pittsburgh Steelers 24-20. 49ers quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo says the winning feeling extends through the whole team.
It's a mindset that we have in the locker room. It's a great group of guys, great coaches, and I think it starts from the top down. It's just we know what we have, and we just have to go prove it on the field now.
Every NFL team gets a bye week during the regular season. For San Francisco, time off came early in week 4.
Yeah, it's weird. I've never had a bye this early, but it is what it is type of thing. So, got to go back, have a good week of assessing ourselves and get ready for the Monday night game.
New England and Kansas City have both won their first 4 games, both surviving close battles in the past week. Chiefs head coach Andy Reid was happy to get a 34-30 victory while visiting the Detroit Lions.
We'll have some work to do getting ready for our next opponent there. But we'll enjoy it. This is a tough place to play, and it's hard to win in the National Football League. We'll take it.
New England coach Bill Belichick has had nearly the same assessment of his Patriots teams every season over the past 2 decades.
We have a hard-working team. I have a lot of confidence in our team. We'll just keep working hard to do things better, do it better next week.
The Patriots slipped past the host Buffalo Bills 16-10 in a performance quarterback Tom Brady hopes will be better next time.
I think we're all just trying to improve, and today was, I think we can do better than that. But glad we won. I'm glad we're 4-0.
The 42-year-old Brady remains consistent and reliable in his 20 years with New England, an NFL record for seasons quarterbacking one team. He has played in 9 Super Bowls, winning a record 6 since 2001, and his post-game comments have remained consistent as well.
They all count the same. We're just going to have to figure out how to do a better job on offense. Defense is, I know they're going to play great. They've been playing great all season long. I just got to go out there and do the best job I can do, and I've been trying to do that for 20 years now.
While only 3 undefeated teams remain, several franchises are looking to win their first game this season, including the Miami Dolphins, Denver Broncos, Cincinnati Bengals, Washington Redskins, and Arizona Cardinals, all teams that have previously won or played in the Super Bowl.
And let's put our hands together for that spicy sports package by my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. An update now on the Rugby World Cup in Japan. Ireland and Fiji both posted victories on Thursday. The Irish blanked Russia 35-0, while Fiji beat Georgia 45-10. Fiji is now in second place in Pool D with 7 points, 2 behind front-running Wales. Georgia has 5 points. Ireland tops Pool A with 11 points from 3 matches, while Russia, with 3 losses in 3 matches, has officially been eliminated. Speaking after Thursday's victory, Ireland's head coach Joe Schmidt praised the Irish fans for giving his players a confidence boost.
Yeah, we need the win to take confidence. We need the performance to take confidence. And we need the support we got tonight to take confidence. We had fantastic support. It's still rippling around the stadium, and it really does lift players. I like the way we controlled the game. very tough conditions out there, so we're maybe a little bit loose with the ball sometimes, and I think in those greasy conditions and that high humidity, we knew there had already been 65 handling errors in the two games previously. I don't know, we maybe try to make 65 ourselves.
In Rugby World Cup action Friday, top of the table, Italy will take on two-time world champion South Africa in a key Pool B match. The Italians have 11 points from two matches, while the South Africans are third in the pool with 5 points. Defending world champion New Zealand is in second place with 9 points. The winner and runner-up in each of the four pools will advance to the quarterfinals. Meanwhile, the Rugby World Cup will have its first extraterrestrial broadcast when the South Africa-Italy match is beamed to the International Space Station 408 kilometers above host country Japan. The sports governing body, World Rugby, is providing a special feed of Friday's game for Italian astronaut Luca Parmitano. Luca's a big rugby fan who this week took charge of the space station. In a statement, the European Space Agency astronaut Parmitano said, and I quote, "Rugby is a fantastic game that celebrates friendship and teamwork. Just like you have to work together to achieve a try, we on board the International Space Station have to collaborate with a team of astronauts and ground personnel from all over the world in order to achieve our objective, our try, which is space exploration, technology, and science." Meanwhile, the captain of Italy's rugby team, Sergio Parise, says it's an incredible feeling to know that the match against South Africa will reach the space station. He says rugby and the Rugby World Cup truly are without borders. Meanwhile, you might say an Afghani athlete is hoping to cross some new borders and make it to next year's Tokyo Olympics. Since the fall of the Taliban in 2004, only 4 Afghani women have represented their country at an Olympics. VOA's Kevin Enix narrates this report by Hidayatullah Nori.
22-year-old Nafisa Mohammadi has been a kickboxing trainer in Kabul since high school and wants to share her skills with other girls.
I have been working as a trainer for the past 2 years. I have 2 clubs. There are 20 to 25 girls in each club.
But it hasn't been easy being an Afghan woman in the kickboxing world.
I am determined to help others if I can, so they can be able to practice any sport they may choose. I believe this should be a principal right of all girls in Afghanistan.
Before kickboxing, Nafisa learned kung fu and a few other martial arts. She's won 10 medals and her goal is to compete on the world stage.
I had an opportunity to go abroad for matches, but unfortunately, I did not have money and someone to support me. Thus, I could not go abroad. I do want to go in the future.
Left, right, uppercut.
Nafisa understands the challenges she faces in a male-dominated society like Afghanistan, but believes girls should have the right to compete, especially in the Olympics. Now she wants to pay it forward and plans to expand her network of women's training clubs all over Afghanistan. Kevin Enix reporting for Hidayatullah Nori in Kabul, VOA News.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Team USA continues to dominate the medal table at the World Athletics Championships in Doha. Heading into Thursday evening's medal action, Team USA had tallied 18 medals, 8 gold, 8 silver, and 2 bronze. China is second on the medal table with 8 medals, 2 gold, 3 silver, and 3 bronze, and Jamaica is in third place, 2 gold and 2 silver for a total of 4 medals. Team USA racking up the medals at the World Athletics Championships. And that wraps up the October 3rd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Sidrak Franklin. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impoga, host of VOA's Reporters Roundtable. Join us every Thursday as we discuss important African topics and events. I'll have a panel of African journalists and expert guests to discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. That's Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5-minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
This is Science in a Minute.
For years, study after study provided evidence that eating a diet that includes red meat would put us at greater risk for ailments such as heart disease or cancer. A new international study led by researchers at two Canadian universities now suggests that most adults can continue to consume the same amount of red and processed meats they have been eating all along. The researchers conducted 4 extensive reviews of numerous trials and studies that gauged the increased risks of cardiovascular disease and cancer from consuming red and processed meats. In a text response to VOA, the American Heart Association says they continue to recommend that adults eat an overall healthy eating pattern with foods like vegetables, fruits, nuts, lean protein, and fish, and to avoid those with trans fats, sodium, and refined carbohydrates. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English. Your reliable source for learning English.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 UTC on The Voice of America.
News happens around the clock, and VOA brings you the latest at the top of each hour. Tune in for a summary of the news at the top of each hour, around the clock on the Voice of America. Hourly newscasts on the radio and on the internet at voanews.com. VOA, a leader in news coverage for over 70 years.